We find our theme or our text verse in today's message in that 25th verse, and I'd like to read it one more time. I'll probably read it or mention the phrase numerous times, and I hope that it becomes a part of you today. Paul said, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer," and notice then what he said, "For I believe God." I believe God. The theme of the message, or the title of the message today, is faith will outlast any storm. Faith will outlast any storm. 2 years have gone by, and Paul has been in Caesarea. I have a map for you today, and I'd like, Brother Timothy's going to bring that up for us, and we'll take a look at it. You like to look at maps. I like to look at maps. Remember back when we were doing the missionary journeys of Paul, we had a map almost like this. And so now we have a map here. And if you look down at the bottom right-hand corner of the map, you see where the arrow starts, the red arrow. But you see Paul boards a ship sent to Rome to appeal to Caesar. But Caesarea is listed there. He's been sitting in Caesarea for 2 years. For 2 years, he's kind of been in a holding pattern. And we've preached on that and mentioned that for some time. Finally, though, look at verse 27. So you see some of these names. Chapter 27, verse 1. Now the hour of sleep is affecting me. It affected Pastor Nathan in the first hour. Now it's affecting me. And will probably continue to the rest of the day. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy. I mean, look how far he's got to go, though. We're not talking about ships of 2022, all right? And a little less, not even like Brother Jose's ship. I just forgot about that. How's that ship coming, Brother Jose? And then we'll talk about it later, okay. And anyway, he's got beautiful, beautiful boat. But anyway, not even a boat like Brother Jose's. And it took a long time to get there. We're going to look at that maybe next week. But he starts here in Caesarea, and the goal is Rome and up there in Italy. And notice verse number... And the next day we touched at Sidon. At Sidon. You see that? Just a short little jaunt up the coast there. And here's Caesarea here. And they just went up to Sidon. And their journey was well underway. And so verse 27, chapter 27, takes us really kind of, and there's some other places and we won't read through it all, but Nidus is mentioned in chapter 27. They're launching from Crete. The fair havens are listed there. And it's kind of in this area right in here. It's really the theme of what God's brought us to of chapter 27 is in the middle of this storm, which the name of it is in verse 14. We did not read it, but you can see it there. Euroclydon. This was a hurricane-type wind that had come up. And verse number 15 says, "And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." Basically, wherever the wind took them, that's where they were going. They were at the complete mercy, if you will, of God, really, because that's who brought the wind. And there's verse 16. It talks about the island of Clauda. You can see the name, the island there is listed, Clauda. And we had much work to come by the boat. And let's skip down to verse 20. "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." Can you imagine? I mean, we can imagine it in Vancouver. Sometimes we don't see the sun or stars for a while, okay? But this is a little different scenario. They're on an island, and they're in their boat, and they've been going through a storm. That is the lead up to what we just read, verses 21 to 29. And, I mean, no hope is there for them. Paul has traveled on three missionary journeys. We've covered that. And finally, though, Paul is at a place where he's on his final destination, his final journey. He's heading to Rome. What have we discovered about Paul's journey? His life has been threatened many times. He's been beaten. He's been imprisoned. It hasn't been a cakewalk. It hasn't been easy. But you know what I find about the Apostle Paul? I find that he is a testimony of his own words. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Maybe you're familiar with these verses in the third chapter of Philippians. He wrote them under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. They may have already been written by the time he's on his way to Rome, quite possibly. So I'm thinking about these verses as I'm thinking about Paul and the journey and stopping and starting and moving and staying and all the rest of it. And, you know, we might look at it and say, man, God's timing and so many delays and so many changes and so much difficulty. But, you know, as we look at Bible characters, we can relate. Why is this a delay? Why is God delaying this in my life? Why has God put something on hold in my life? You know, God is sovereign, and God, as we read earlier, God is holy. And so the delays of God are not always the denials of God. Maybe you've heard that before. So don't get caught up in a delay. A delay is not necessarily a bad thing. And, you know, maybe you're even delayed in traffic. Maybe you're delayed at a train stop. Why do I always get caught at the train stop on Westwood Street? I don't know. That's out our way, okay? And maybe you have a train stop near you. You know, those trains, and you get caught in delay, and, you know, and I'm as impatient as anybody. I'm guilty. I'm preaching to me right now. But you realize God has a purpose in all of the delays. And if we can grow and we can get mature, and I'm not there yet, but that we delight in delays. I've got to have God's grace to delight in delays. Normally, I'm frustrated with delays. How about you? And if anybody could be frustrated, it might be the Apostle Paul. But notice what he says, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, you know, the beatings, the delays, the imprisonment, just fill in the blank with all of the stuff that the Apostle Paul has gone through. He says, I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forth unto those things which are before. I'm on my way to Rome. I'm finally on the boat. I love verse 14. I press toward the mark. Even though there's been delays, and even though there's been detours, Paul says, I'm still moving forward. I'm still pressing toward the mark. I'm still headed toward Rome. I'm still following through on what God has for me to do. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul continues to press forward. I say to us today that in examining the life of the Apostle Paul, it somewhat can remind us of our own lives. Paul's destination is going to be Rome in the top left-hand corner of the screen. And if God leads us to, we'll preach on that. Maybe the event that happened in Malta. It might take a couple weeks. We'll see what God has for us. But for him, that was going to be, it's going to be his final dwelling place. It was where he would go to heaven from. It's where he would face a martyr's death. And I think about us today. We are on a journey. But our journey is not only in this world. This is so temporal. Our journey, our end goal, if we want to compare, we can't. But I'm just trying to, in my own heart, that Rome represents heaven in the sense of it's our final dwelling place. It's our final place. It's our final resting place. But along the journey from here to heaven, there's many different challenges that come to us. Some maybe we expected. You know, so many of them, we don't expect them. And yet there's a purpose for every one of them. And I trust today as we kind of zero in now on verses 21 to 28, 21 to 29, I want to give you something in just a moment about it. So let's look here again at these verses quickly. Verse 21, but after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. So he's been waiting for his moment. He's been quiet. He's been waiting for just the right time to speak. Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and have not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you, verse 22, Be of good cheer. So here's the promise. He says, I want you to know something. No one is going to die. No one's going to die. He said, I can't speak for the ship, but no one's going to die. He says, but of the ship. No harm will come to you. You are going to make it. Now, that's a promise that he was able to make because of what we're going to read next. Look at verse 23. For there stood by me this night. This is where we really, for me, get into where God was helping me in this particular chapter and events in Paul's life. The angel of God. Now, I want you to notice something here. Notice what it says. Whose I am. Paul belonged to God. Amen. As a Christian today, the songwriter said, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone. You know, he was talking about time earlier, Pastor Nathan. We know that in heaven there is no time. You know, I don't know how many times, Miss Carmen, I look at my watch in a day. I should track that one time. Way too many times. I'm consumed a lot with time. Am I going to be on time? Am I going to be late? Am I going to be on time? Am I going to be late? You know, yesterday I was looking at my watch. Am I going to? Are we going to be? We're going to make it. All right. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do. No, I know what I'm going to do in heaven. Thank God there's going to be no watches there and no time. Hallelujah. Amen. And we already learned what we're going to be able to do in heaven. But I love what he said there. He said, whose I am. We belong to God. In Romans, the Bible tells us that we are in the hand of God. In John, we are in the hand of God. John 10, we're in the hand of God. And then in the hand of Jesus. And then he's in the hand of God. And no man can take us out of the Father's hand. And so praise the Lord, if you're saved today, you are a part of God's family. You are a child of the King. He is your heavenly Father. You're His child. He supplies all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He never fails. He never forsakes you. We'll talk more about that. So Paul said, whose I am. But then notice, because Paul knew who he belonged to, he knew what he was supposed to do with his life. And that's in the next statement. Do you see it there? And whom I serve. I'm a firm believer that if we realized we truly belong to God, we would have more time to serve God. If we truly believe that we were His child, I know we believe that. I'm not saying you don't believe that. But if you truly believe it and it consumes you like it did Paul, guess what will happen? We won't just say whose I am, we'll say whom I serve. Because we're His, want to serve Him. You know, I talk about time. We talk about time, but it is something that we do live our lives by. We have 168 hours in a week. We have seven 24-hour days. I just wonder, do we have any time for the Lord? I'm not talking about reading our Bible. We better have time to read the Bible. I'm not putting that down. I'm saying that's got to be. I'm talking about serving the Lord. When do you serve the Lord in that 168 hours? If we're saved, all of us in some way ought to say, He's mine and He's the one I serve. You know, it's easy to serve self. I'd have to raise my hand. It's easy to serve self. What has eternal value? Serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. I love those. Just little statements in these verses. Whose I am, who I serve. Now, verse 24. He goes on. He says, here's what I was told by the angel of God. Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. That's a good word in the Bible, must. You know, it's going to happen. So Paul, no matter what happens over the next few days, I want you to know something. The angel says, you will see Caesar. But not only would he see Caesar, look at verse 24. And lo, God hath given all them that sail with thee. So everybody that was on that, they got on the right boat with the right guy. They were going to make it to Rome. The map's gone, but you know where it was, right? Up there by the T. It's okay, Brother Timothy. No, it's fine. You know, I thought about that. Paul was guaranteed that he would make it from where he was when the angel of God spoke to him. He's going to make it to Rome. When we get saved, we're guaranteed something, right? We're guaranteed we're going to make it to heaven. You probably know where I'm going right now. But I wonder, who's on the boat with me? Who's on the boat with me? You say, what do you mean? Well, I should be getting some people on my boat to go to heaven with me. I can't save them. I can't save anybody. Neither can you. But I can say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Hey, let me tell you about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let me tell you about the one who changed my life. Let me tell you about the Prince of Peace. Let me tell you about the Lord of Lords. Let me tell you about the Savior. And as I'm on my way to heaven, I'm inviting people, hey, come, follow Jesus. Like John the Baptist of old, hey, come see a man. Hey, like the prophets of old. Hey, let me tell you about the King who's coming. Let me tell you about Jehovah Almighty God who would be born of a virgin. Isaiah would write about it, be born of a virgin, and all that Isaiah wrote. And on our journey, we want to make sure that when we get to heaven, we're not there just by ourselves. Oh, yes, a lot of people will be in heaven, don't get me wrong. But I would like to have some people on my boat, my life, if you will, encouraging them, teaching them, witnessing to them, giving them a track. And by the way, there might be some people that make it to heaven on your boat that you don't even know about. The point is, when we hand out a gospel track, we may never know that person. We may never see that person again. You know where we might see them? Heaven. Because it all started with one seed. And they get there, you don't recognize them, but they come up to you. I don't know if this is going to happen or not. It might. And they say, New Westminster, B.C., 2022. Yeah, I lived there. You gave me something from the church. And later on, I got saved. Now I'm here today. Thank you for giving me a ticket to ride your boat that led to heaven. I'm just saying, the angel said, anybody on the boat with you, they're not going down either. Now, they didn't go down because of, now the illustration, you have to not take it too far. No one can get to heaven because of my faith. That's not what I'm saying. But I think the analogy can be made. But along the way, we invite people to join us. Verse 25. We're almost to the outline, okay? Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Here's I think this is so helpful to me. For I believe. So he says to the mariners, and he says to the people on the boat, I had an angel from God come to me and told me that I was going to make it to Rome. And the angel told me that everybody on the ship was going to make it to Rome. And I want to tell you guys something. I believe God. I believe God. What is that? That's faith. I believe God. And today, in 2022, we can have the same confidence because the God of heaven has not decreased in his power and in his wisdom and in all of that. He's still Almighty God. And so we can today, in the middle of our journey on the route to heaven, no matter where we're at, we can say with the Apostle Paul of old, I believe God. No matter what comes my way, I believe God. If that's the only three words you get from the message, you've got a lot because it's the Word of God. I believe God. Paul said, with emphasis and with compassion and passion and with great fervor that he believed God. Notice what he said. I believe God that it shall be. It shall be. That's just like the angel saying, to Paul, that you must get to Rome, to Caesar. And Paul said, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Do you know what this book is? This is a book directly to you, Brother Kevin. God told Kevin everything that Kevin needs to know in this book right here. He is no different than the Apostle Paul in the sense of God told the Apostle Paul something and he said, it's what God told me. And every day, every day Kevin picks up the Word of God. They were inseparable. They were kids growing up together. So every day, and K and C, okay, anyway, time change. Every day Kevin picks up this book, he can say, this is God's message to me. Every day you pick up this book, Aster, every day you pick up this book, this is God's message to me. Paul said, as it was told me. You know what? God's still telling us things, isn't he? How's he telling us? One way he's telling us, one big way he's telling us things is through his word. Don't live a day, if at all possible, physically able, even if you can't read it, have somebody play it. Don't live a day without God's word entering into your ears, entering into your eyes. It's God wants to tell you something. God wants to tell me something. Paul said, he told me, I believe God. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Howbeit, things are going to happen anyway. There's going to be difficulties come, even though God said something. That doesn't mean there's not going to be challenges. 14th night. Now, let's skip down to verse 29. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern. What did they do? They wished for the day. What does that mean? Boy, if it could only be morning. We'll talk about that in just a moment. I'd like to give you four anchors. Four anchors that will hold us during any storm. The message is faith will outlast any storm. Paul's faith was not in himself or his surroundings. Paul said, I believe God. I believe God. Paul didn't say, I believe Paul. He didn't say, I believe my experiences. He could have said that. He could have said, you know, I know it's inspired word of God, but, you know, a lot of times we believe in what's happened to us or whatever. But no, the point is, he just said simply, I believe God. May we say that today too. It was Elizabeth who would say to Mary in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 45, blessed is she that believed. It was an angel of God that came to Paul. It was an angel of God that came to Mary. Said to a virgin, never knowing man in a physical way, you're going to have a baby. And that baby is not only going to be a baby, that baby is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And Elizabeth said to Mary in Luke 1:45, blessed is she, blessed is Mary that believed. She believed God. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Whatever God said to Mary is going to happen. And whatever God says in this book, while we may not know all the minute details of the book of Revelation, and people have argued about different things about the book of Revelation for decades, and they probably will continue to until we're all in heaven and we'll figure out God was right and everybody else was wrong. But the point is this, I know Jesus is coming again, and I know heaven is my eternal home. Why? Because God said so. And I trust God. I believe God. Okay, quickly, four anchors. Number one, nothing new, but I hope the repetition will challenge us, encourage us today. Number one, the presence of God. That's an anchor that'll keep us through any storm, the presence of God. In verse 23 is where we already read that, for there stood by me this night, stood by me. Think about that. Standing by Paul was the angel of God. Wherever you are as a Christian, God is with you. Was God with me here? Yes, he was. I guarantee you, you can't find a place where God isn't. And so that's an anchor that helps us, the very presence of God, whose I am and whose I serve. Let's go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, the Gospel of Matthew 28. It's a verse that we've heard over and over again, but again, I trust that God's word will speak to you in this. You think about these anchors. Number one, the presence of God. The angel stood by Paul. God is with you as a Christian. We've mentioned it time and time again, but let's keep mentioning it, that you have in you the Holy Spirit of God. There isn't anywhere you can go without the Holy Spirit of God. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Hebrews 13:5 tells us that. You were indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God the very moment that you got saved, and so you are never alone. He promised never to leave us, never to leave us alone. The presence of God, Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway. I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. These are promises that we need to have by our side, that we have embedded into our mind, that we have burnt into our heart, if you will, that the presence of God is an anchor that helps us through any storm. Let's turn to John's gospel quickly. John 6. John chapter 6. Please look with me at verse 16. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship. This is a sailing day at Anchor Baptist. And went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. And they willingly received him into the ship. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Here they are, and again, another storm, a different setting, but a storm that the disciples are in on a boat. Jesus is not necessarily, at the beginning, Jesus is not in the boat, and we know that he himself said, I must go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come. And when I go away, the Comforter will come unto you. And so because Jesus would go back to heaven one day and ascend. Thank you, Brother Kevin. He would ascend back to heaven. But until that took place, the Holy Spirit would not come. So in this day, they had Jesus with them, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit indwelling them yet. Because he hadn't come, Acts chapter 1, verse 2, or Acts 1 and 2. But when Jesus Christ would ascend back to heaven, he said, I've got to go away. They didn't even understand that. They were confused by that. But because of that happening, you and I today have the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. The presence of God is an anchor. Don't forget about that. I know we don't forget about it, but sometimes I think we get the alone feeling, and I know I've had that, you've had that, but let's not forget the presence of God. It's an anchor. Number two, look at verse 24 and 25. Our text. Again, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. Lo, God hath given all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Possibly you have been given a promise before from someone, and they broke the promise. Oh, God never breaks a promise. That's number two. Promises of God. The promises of God. Do you promise? I promise. It doesn't always work out even when we promise. We need to do our best if we promise to keep our word. But God never goes back on a promise. His promises are steadfast and promises are true. You think back just a few months into 2021 and what our theme was. Strong in faith, giving God the glory. And the emphasis of last year was on the life of Abraham, how in Romans chapter 4 and verse number 20 and 21, let's turn over there one more time. Romans 4, 20 and 21, it talks about how Abraham was a man who believed the promises of God. Even though he was almost 100 years of age. Romans chapter 4, and he was going to have another child at 100. But notice it says in verse 20, he staggered not. This is our verse from last year. He staggered not at the what? Promise. I mean, you could think of many promises in the Bible. Hopefully you have some promises that come to mind. We did some of these a few weeks ago at church on Sunday night. So this is something to meditate on in your mind and in your heart throughout the week, the promises of God. Well, here's a promise that Abraham believed that even though he was 100 and Sarah was 90, that God was going to fulfill his promise. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving God the glory, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had, what? Promised. He was able. There's where that was. I lost track of that in the first service. There, I found it in the second service. How about that? I'm glad I came to the second service too. Anyway, he was able also to perform. Look, my confidence is not in you, and I'm thankful that your confidence is not in me. I hope it's not. But our confidence is in the one who is able to perform every promise in his word. He doesn't just throw out a promise and then try to figure out how to do it. We may do that sometimes. Be careful what you promise. But God never throws out a promise and then has to figure out what am I going to do to meet it. He's going to meet every promise that he gives us in his word. That's an anchor to hold on to no matter where we are in our journey. And Paul was someone who said, I believe God. And what God says, God's going to do. The promises of God. Let me show you just a couple of other verses that helped me. Turn to Psalm 30, please. In the thought of this promises of God, let's go to Psalm 30. I was looking for that. He was able to perform it through in our text in the first service, but I was in Acts 27, but it was over in Romans 4 the whole time. There you go. Praise the Lord. Look at Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night. Yeah, how come it's always that way? At night, we're sick and it's, you know, we're just hoping for the morning, you know. Maybe in the morning we'll be better. It doesn't always work that way, but you know, a lot of times there's just something about a new day. Here's what the psalmist says. Weeping at night, but what happens? Joy cometh in the morning. That's a promise from God. Joy cometh in the morning. Turn over a couple of pages to Psalm 34, please. Psalm 34. I hope this next verse really helps you. I think it's pretty challenging, but it's very helpful at the same time. Look at Psalm 34 with me, please, at verse 19. Notice the first phrase. I know you're going to read on, but just stop at the word righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Stop right there. Many afflictions for the righteous. Not the lost. Not the pagan. The child of God. That's who's righteous. And it's not our righteousness, we know that. It's his righteousness. But the psalmist says there are many afflictions. Now, Paul definitely could relate to that. It says, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. A night and the day in the deep. I suffered shipwreck. Perils of my own countrymen. I'm kind of mixing up all the verses there. But, you know, when he lists all that things, and he says even the care of all the churches, you know, puts that in there. So someone that knows about afflictions was definitely our main character in these last several times. Paul knew about them. And, you know, I read that verse this week and thought, many are the afflictions of the righteous. That's not what we normally think about being a follower of Christ, that there's going to be many afflictions. So let's not be surprised by the storm. Let's not be surprised by the difficulty. But then the verse turns, amen? But, you see that there? But the Lord delivereth them out of them all. The Lord delivereth, verse 19. But the Lord delivereth. So where are you today in the midst of something that is an affliction? Let's trust God. Let's trust his promises that he will deliver. He delivers way better than any delivery service. He's always on time, seldom early, never late. That's our God. That's his promise. That's an anchor for me that can help me go through any storm. The promises of God. The presence of God. Much more could be said about that, but let's move on. Number three, the providence of God. The providence of God. As we go back to our text, we've kind of covered this a little bit already, but in a different application. Look at verse 24, please, one more time with me. saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." What do we mean by the providence of God? The angel said, "Paul, you are going to make it to Caesar." See, there's a purpose that God has in everything in your life. And by his providence, he is directing you and directing me to where he wants us to go. In the sense, Paul, it was a place. It was to speak before Caesar. In our way, it might be that God is leading us to an individual as well, someone to be kind to, someone to share the gospel with. We're sitting in the hospital. I mean, how can this be the providence of God? But then the person beside us has a story, and somehow a conversation strikes up, or we're sitting and waiting here or waiting there. The providence of God puts you in that place. The providence of God put me in that place. The providence of God put Paul where he is. And he's saying, "Paul, I just want you to know everything along the way is of the providence of God." Psalm 57, verse 1. In other words, God has a purpose for everything that he's bringing into your life and my life. It's his providential plan. Here's the beautiful thing. He knew about it before you and I were even born. That's just mind-blowing, isn't it? Here we are, one of billions that have been born. And God's providence knew he would have you here on the, whatever day it is, what's today, 13th? 13th of March, 2022. And we've got people from all over the world here today. You weren't born in Canada. I wasn't. Some of you were born in Canada. Many of you were born outside of Canada. I was born outside of Canada. But you know what? We're all here today by the providence of God. The sovereignty of God. Look at Psalm 57, verse 1. "Be merciful unto me, O God." Be merciful unto me. Have you been there? "For my soul trusteth in thee." I like this. "Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge." The shadow of his wings. I like this thought, though. "Until these calamities be overpassed." So he's under the shadow of his wings, and there's a calamity. There's a difficulty. There's a challenge going on. I'm under the shadow of your wings sovereignly. You've allowed these calamities into my life, but you haven't abandoned me within those calamities. Sovereignty, the providence of God. Jeremiah 29. Four anchors. You believe God? May we believe God with a greater faith. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Powerful verse. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. You like that last statement? To give you an expected end. That's the providence of God. So God isn't looking up in heaven today and looking down on you and saying, "Now how can I make her life or their life, his life, more miserable?" That's not God. That's not peace. The thoughts that God has toward us are thoughts of peace. To bring us to an expected end. What is our expected end? Well, could be different things. It could be a daily expected end. Think about it. Every day, God has a path ready for you. That's why when we get up in the morning, we need to get up with the Word. And we need to get up in prayer so that we even take the right path for that day. Now, I'm a creature of habit. Maybe you're a creature of habit too. I tend to go the same way every day to work. You know, I just, the same thing, boom, boom, boom. You know, that's how we are. And that's not a bad thing. But I need to be praying enough to say, "God, if you want me to go to a different gas station this time, I will." You know, the one that's not $2 a liter, okay? We won't get into that. But anyway, yeah, go look for one of those, right? Anyway, God's good. But I'm just saying, to give you an expected end. Look, God, this isn't just about getting to heaven. This is about every day letting God's Spirit lead us through the day. To me, that's what the Christian life is all about. And if he's bringing me through the storm on a day, fine. He's got an expected end in mind, and he's got peace in mind. Not evil. Give us an expected end. So, the presence of God, the promises of God, the providence of God. Let's go back to our text one more time and look with me, please, at the last verse of chapter 27. And as the preacher says, and finally, you know, that doesn't mean, you know, it's done, but we're getting close. Okay. Thank you for your attention. I like this, though. And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. Obviously, Paul was right. That ship suffered great loss. Notice, and so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Number four, four anchors. The fourth one is the performance of God. Paul said, I believe God. It's going to happen. And guess what? It happened. And when God says in His Word what He's going to do, He's going to do it. You can count on that. Everyone made it safely to shore. Some swam, some grabbed a piece of broken wood, some on boards. They made it to land. God is able to work everything out. God is seeing us through every day of our life. He will perform in your life, even in the impossible things that you think nothing can come. Nothing's going to turn. No, nothing is impossible when we put our trust in God. I stand before you today, humbly stand before you today, thinking 21 years into a church, we're meeting in a space like this, and if I'm careful, I can begin to question the performance of God. It's not about a building. It's not about property. That's sometimes not the performance of God. But God gives us an expected end, as I said. But I know this. I know that God has never failed one time. In all of these eons of eternity and past, now in my life, and I'm just one, you know, 40, you know, I'm almost 49 years of age, and God's never failed me. But what's 49 years? That's nothing. God's never failed anybody. And why do we let the devil convince us that we're going to be the first one he fails? No, he's not. He's not going to fail this church. He's not going to. This is his church. He's given his life for it. We belong to God and we serve him. So, like Paul of old, may we say today, just simply, I believe God. And what was told me will come to